like to call the opening of bids meeting to order. The first order of business, letter of notification. Ladies and gentlemen, certified proofs of publication have been received in the Office of Mineral Resources on behalf of the State Mineral and Energy Board for the state of Louisiana from the Advocate Official Journal for the state of Louisiana and from the respective parish journals as evidence that tract numbers 44558 through 44566 have been advertised in accordance with and under the provisions of Chapter 2, Title 30, Revised Statutes of 1950 as amended. There were no letters of protest for today's sale. Notification of tracts recommended for withdrawal. Tract number 44565 will be recommended by the staff to be withdrawn. This will be taken up in the nomination and tract committee meeting. And if there are any bids on this track and it is withdrawn, you will be able to get your bid at the conclusion of today's meeting. And we will proceed with the opening of the bids.
Received one bid on track 4455 and advertised as 22 acres. The bid is for the entire track, and the bidder is Preeminence Energy LLC. Preeminence Energy LLC. For a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $3,850 or a per acre value of $175. Annual rentals are $1,925. $1,925. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on track 44559, advertised as 1 acre. The bid is for the entire track, and the bidder is Seco Oil and Gas Company. Seco Oil and Gas Company. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $250. $250 or a per acre value of $250. Annual rentals are $125. $125. Royalties are 20%. We did not receive any bids on track 44560. We did receive one bid on tract 44561, advertised as 1,130 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 150 acres. 150 acres. The bidder is Southwest Energy Partners, LLC. Southwest Energy Partners, LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $27,000. $27,000. Or a per acre value of $180. Annual rentals are $13,500. $13,500. Royalties are 22%. We did not receive any bids on tracks 44562, 563, or 564. We are recommending that track 44565 be withdrawn from today's lease sale. We received one bid on track 44566, advertised as 10 acres. The bid is for the entire track, and the bidder is Seco Oil and Gas Company. Seco Oil and Gas Company. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $2,500. $2,500, or a per acre value of $250. Annual rentals are $1,250. $1,250. Royalties are 20%.
Hold on. Let me look at those real quick.
That will complete the opening and reading of the bids for today's lease sale.
We will adjourn the opening of the bids meeting. Committee meetings will begin at 9:30. Thank you.
Of course. Ask me that question.
Good morning. I think we're ready to start our committee hearings. Our first committee is a lease review, and our chairman is Mr. Hike.
Welcome.
Good morning.
Ms. Heck, would you, let's call the roll first, right?
Mr. Arnold.
Present.
Mr. Segura.
Here.
Mr. Harris.
Here.
Mr. Cordero. Mr. Smith. Mr. Hike.
Here.
Ms. LeBlanc.
Here.
Mr. Hollingshead.
Here.
Mr. Watkins.
Here.
Mr. Bradbury. Mr. Carter. Mr. Chairman, we have 7 members present and a quorum.
Thank you very much. Designate Mr. Heck to make the presentation this morning.
Mr. Talbot and Mr. Bradbury.
I'm sorry, you're right.
Okay. Yes, sir. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Bradbury and I are here to present the lease review agenda today. My portion is going to be very quick and short. Mr. Bradbury has quite an extensive on force majeure. He's done quite a thorough research on these force majeure events. Better man than me on discussing that. Starting off, we have, as of today, 1,462 active leases covering nearly 608,000 acres. The G&E staff, since the last board meeting, reviewed some 124 leases covering approximately 30,000 acres. I have no leases to discuss in more detail today. So that leaves the next portion is Mr. Bradbury and force majeure.
Good morning, Chairman Hike and members of the board. I have 3 matters to bring to your attention this morning. The first of these is a request for recognition of a force majeure by White Oak Operating Company, LLC. They're requesting a recognition of a force majeure condition affecting state leases 15155, 15202, and 15726 beginning March 16, 2016 due to flooding. If you all recall, the I-10 was closed at the Texas and Louisiana border around that time. This was located, these leases are located in Calcasieu Parish along the Sabine River. At the time, the wells were shut in for testing, and when the flooding waters came up, they couldn't turn them back on within 90 days. The staff is recommending to recognize the force majeure beginning March 16th, 2016, affecting these leases due to flooding. That event suspends the 90-day continuous operations clause and productions clause on day 15. So once the effects of the force majeure are abated, White Oak will have 75 days to restore production or initiate downhole reworking operations. Staff further stipulates that White Oak be required to provide monthly updates on the progress to restore production. Second matter to bring to your attention is a request by 5 Jab Inc. to recognize force majeure after the fact due to a loss of access to their gas pipeline that served State Lease 13566 and Operating Agreement A0220. Caused by the COE, or the Corps of Engineers, performing levee repairs and requiring the pipeline company to get a new permit and make a new levee crossing. Things kind of dragged out there. The operator had no control over the actions of the pipeline company. The staff is recommending conditionally recognizing the force majeure effect affecting 5 Jab, the state lease and operating agreement for the period of June 25th, 2015 through May 24th, 2016 when production was finally restored. Since the current lease and operating agreement language does not cover this type of event as a force majeure, the staff's conditional recognition provides that 5 Jab amend State Lease 13566 and Operating Agreement A0220 to provide for the current force majeure language adopted by the 2005 board policy and require all other amendments that have been since required by the board. On the third matter to bring to your attention is Hillcorp Energy Company requested recognition of a force majeure beginning December 12, 2015 for State Lease 21109. This is located in Terrebonne Parish in Bay St. Elaine. Their platform, the well was shut in at the time, but the platform explosion and fire prevented them from turning the well back on production. Staff instructed Hillcorp to make a shut-in payment at that time, and they did so in a timely manner. So that's it. Mr. Raymond, sorry, I flew through that. Mr. Raymond Bate here is representing 5JAB if you all have any further questions on any of this.
So my question would be this. And that is, and you may or may not be able to answer, it has really little to do with this request. But since you stated that the present lease doesn't cover this type of condition, can you tell me whether or not the proposed lease expands that definition of force majeure?
Yes, sir. What we do is, typically this would be, isn't really a force majeure. It's what's been called in some contracts a suspending event. And one of the things the new lease form corrects for is it has a definition of force majeure and a definition or a definition with examples of suspending events. So that will be handled in the new lease form.
Thank you.
It just, the old policy had it recognized that way.
Thank you.
On item three, we're hopeful there's no action required.
Item three. There's really no action required on the behalf of the board, but I was asked asked this morning to go ahead and get a resolution done on this too, so we can document the file that you all concur with this.
Go ahead, sir.
We need a motion to approve the force majeure on items 1 and 2, and recognize the shut-in payment on item 3.
That'd be great.
I'll make that a motion.
Second.
Second.
By Mr. Watkins. Any opposition to same? Passes without objection. Thank you very much.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
I'd like to call to order the nomination and track evaluation committee meeting. This time we'll have a roll call. Mr. Arnold?
Present.
Mr. Segura? Here. Mr. Harris?
Here.
Mr. Hike?
Here.
Mr. LeBlanc, Mr. Hollingshead,
here.
Mr. Watkins,
here.
Mr. Bradbury, Mr. Carter. We have a quorum, and I appoint Will Fontenot as my designee. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Cordero, members of the board. Approval by the board was previously granted to staff to process and advertise 9 tracts in the official journal of the state and in the official journal of the parishes for where these lands are located for today's lease sale. For the June 10th, 2015 annual lease sale, this office received 35 nominations for advertisement. A request by staff to withdraw Tract 44565 containing 614.43 acres due to improper advertisement and a request for authority to re-advertise this tract for the August 10th, 2016 annual lease sale. The advertisement described the 614.43 acres as being those lands not under mineral lease on June 8, 2016, when in fact the board awarded a lignite and coal mining lease on January the 13th, 2013, on the identical acres that has been advertised for Tract 446565. The error occurred as a result of standard language in our description template that was missed by staff. Staff recommends to withdraw Tract 44565 and request authority to re-advertise said acreage for the August 10, 2016 mineral lease sale.
Okay, the motion and second to accept staff's recommendation. Motion by...
Move.
Segura, second. Mr. Harris. Any public comment on this item? Any comment from the committee? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
13 nominations received at the Office of Mineral Resources for the August 10th, 2016 mineral lease sale are pending approval by the board for advertising. For the August 12th, 2015 mineral lease sale, this office received 25 nominations for advertisement. Staff recommends that they be given the authority to advertise the aforementioned nominations received at the Office of Mineral Resources for the August 10th, 2016 mineral lease sale.
Thank you. I need a motion and second to accept staff's recommendation. Motion by Mr. Harris, second by Mr. Collinshead. Any public comment? Any comment from the committee? All in favor? Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes. Motion and second to adjourn the committee. Motion by Mr. Harris, second by Mr. Arnold. Committee adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I'd like to call the Audit Committee meeting. Have a roll call. Mr. Arnold?
Present.
Mr. Buer?
Here.
Mr. Harris?
Here.
Padero?
Here.
Mr. Smith? Mr. Hike?
Here.
Mr. LeBlanc?
Here.
Hollenshed?
Here.
Bradbury? And Carter? I'd like to introduce, recognize Ms. Rachel Newman.
Thank you. As of May 31st, 2016, Phil's audit collections totaled $1,088,205, which includes $867,136 in royalty, $171,795 in interest, and $49,274 in penalties. The current number of open royalty audits is 64. Royalties collected in May of 2016 totaled $12,418,090. Fiscal year to date, that total is $198,043,816. At the same time last year, total royalties were $409,305,898. Monthly state royalty reports submitted for May totaled 376. This was 140 for oil, 175 for gas, and 61 for plant products. Item number one is a penalty waiver request from Noble Energy Incorporated for a penalty of $170,288.78 billed for audit exceptions. The field audit began on September 12th of 11, and it covered January 04 through March 13. Total royalty collected for the audit period was $7,971,160.37. This was the third audit of Noble. Some of the same problems were billed in this audit, however, some have been corrected. They were somewhat cooperative with accommodations and scheduling, but we did have problems obtaining records and contact with key personnel. Royalty and interest was not paid timely. The company has implemented corrective measures this go round. Noble paid the state a total of $691,848.30 in exceptions and $104,249.04 in interest. In accordance with protocol, we are recommending a 25% waiver of $42,572 with a balance of $127,716.58 due.
Do we have any discussion on this? Any questions?
Make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
I get a second.
Okay. Mr. Harris seconded.
Second by Mr. Harris.
Item number two is a request to exclude Chawla Resources Incorporated from the 2016 audit schedule. Chawla Resources Incorporated filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy on May 15, 2016. They were a payer of record from April 89 through December of 95. Total royalty paid was $6,712.03. They have never been field audited. Staff recommends that the audit of Chala Resources Incorporated be removed from the 2016 audit schedule because the amount paid is immaterial and no royalty is at risk.
Any discussion? So let's go back to number one. This is my first time doing this, so I need to entertain a motion to accept the waiver of 25%.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Ms. Newman, tell me how it is that this required waiver complies with the protocol.
If you flip in your binder, you should have the field audit evaluation of the request. It's rated on five different factors, and it's a scale of 1 to 10. And if you'd like, I can go over each item.
It's in the back, second page.
Would you like me to go over each
item? Yeah, I want you to do that. I mean, you know, I guess...
No, that's no problem.
I'm a fan of not waiving penalties.
I understand. The first protocol or the first item is: has the company been audited before? We have audited Noble twice before, and we built some of the same problems, so we assigned 1 point. Was the company cooperative with accommodations and scheduling? They got 1 point. They were somewhat cooperative. The third is: did the company provide ready access to key personnel and records? And again, a number one for some difficulty, but not difficulty with both. Were all issues paid timely? No, they get no credit for that one. And number five is, did the company take steps to prevent recurrence of future errors? And they did implement corrective procedures, so they got 2 points for that. So when you add them all up, they fall in the 4 to 5 range, which is a 25% reduction.
Mr. Watkins, can I make a motion?
We have a motion on the floor.
I'm finished.
At this point, does anybody else have any comments? Any comments from the public?
I believe the motion on the floor on item one is to accept staff recommendation for a 25% reduction in the penalty, correct?
Yes, sir.
And it was seconded by Mr. Harris. So that's the motion we were discussing.
Yeah.
I believe we have any more questions from this, from the committee? Mr. Hollins,
I'd like to make a motion for no reduction in penalty. But
you do a substitute motion?
Yes.
Is there a second to that?
Second.
Second.
Okay. Which one are we going on first? Substitute motion or? Okay. All in favor of the substitute motion of having no reduction in penalty? Say aye.
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 All opposed? No.
Aye.
Okay. Can we just do a roll call vote? Mr. Hollinshead? You voted yay?
I voted yay, yes.
Mr. Hake?
Yes.
Yay. Mrs. LeBlanc? Yay.
Nay.
Nay.
That was nay for Mr. Gore and nay for Mr. Harris.
Yay.
Yay for Mr. Cordero. Nay for Mr. Arnold.
I vote no reduction.
And Ms. Blockins vote yay. So the substitute motion passes. Thank you.
Am I in position to make a second substitute motion?
Well, if substitute motion passes, you make a new motion.
That's what I mean.
Sure.
My motion would be to give them a 12% or one half penalty.
12.5%. I just want to make sure I understand correctly. 12.5%.
12.5%, one half. And my thinking there is that that there has been some compliance, but there also has been some still some non-compliance. Is that right, Ms. Newman?
Correct. We've had some issues on the royalty side as well.
Some issues on the royalty side. What are those issues?
We have problems getting reports in on time. We've had a lot of billings for Noble. Noble is audited pretty often and billed pretty often.
Noble is billed pretty often?
Yes, sir.
And audited pretty often?
Yes, sir. Three audits within that time period is a pretty good hit.
Does it go beyond the 3 years?
No, it goes beyond the 3 years. I can give you the specific dates on the previous audits.
Baptism of fire.
We had one audit that started in 2005. It covered January 01 through December of 03. So it ended at the period that this new audit started. And prior to that was an audit in 1999, and it covered July 93 through June of 2000.
So there's some extenuating circumstances that fall outside of the realm, if you will, of the protocol. Those issues are not identified in the protocol, are they?
No, they are not.
Rachel, let me ask you on the, was there an issue with Noble providing records as requested? Were there extensive delays?
I believe that there were some extensive delays. Historically, we've had problems obtaining records from this company.
Okay.
Was there any discussion, when you say staff makes that recommendation, who made the recommendation besides?
The auditor that performs the audit fills out the schedule and makes the recommendation, the audit manager reviews it, and then I review it.
Anybody else?
No, sir. Well, it's reviewed when we go to docket and it's presented that it's going to be a recommendation. So everyone else in OMR has the opportunity to see it and review it. And to address your prior question about the royalty side not being taken into account, field audit is treated independently, and that's why the protocol is set up the way it is. If they're not behaving on the royalty side, royalty is billing them.
I understand giving them a break, but I mean, in my opinion, we need to make, I mean, our state is in a serious situation.
Yes, sir.
And I understand the industry is strapped also at this present time, but it seems to me that they ought to live up to their deal. And I don't know where the extenuating circumstances are with regards to them not complying with the terms of their lease.
And I did advise them that they could come before the board and present their case, but I never heard back, so I'm assuming they chose not to.
Well, I guess they decided not to because staff is recommending and we're just going to give them $40,000. Does anybody else in your division review this authority of suggesting a waiver?
The procedures are per board resolution, so this was in accordance with the resolution adopted by the board, and everyone within OMR, including Mr. Boulay and Stacy, see the recommendation before it gets to this table.
And I believe it was reviewed again at the staff review meeting, correct?
Correct.
Was it generally the Tuesday prior, or two Tuesdays
right.
prior to the board meeting?
Yes, sir.
Look, I'm all for helping industry, but I'm also all for complying with the terms of a contract, and if there's some extenuating circumstances, that's fine. But unless you tell me that they came before you with some type of extenuating circumstances for the waiver, I'm not going to vote for that. I think my position would be that we ought to give them a break, but we ought not cut them loose. And so that's the purpose of me making a second a second a motion.
I think as a point of procedure, you, in order to make the second motion, you would need to, there would need to be a motion to rescind the other, the prior motion, because it's already passed.
Okay.
So you need to make a motion to rescind.
I understand. I'll make a motion to rescind the prior action of the mineral board and ask for a second. Is there a second?
I have a question. Didn't the first motion not give them a waiver?
Correct. The first correct. The motion that passed.
So I think it accomplished what you want to do.
My motion was for no waiver at all.
Did that pass?
It did pass.
Good.
Well, then I apologize. No waiver at all is what passed.
Yes, correct.
That's what passed.
All right. Then I apologize.
You withdraw the motion?
I do.
Thank you.
No problem. I like being up here.
Well, we'll keep you up there.
I need action on item number two as well.
So can you...
You want me to go through it again?
Just restate staff's recommendation on item two.
Staff recommends that the audit of Chala Resources Incorporated be removed from the 2016 audit schedule because the amount paid is immaterial and there is no royalty at risk.
Move to accept staff's recommendation.
It was moved by Segura, second by Mr. Hollinshead. Any comments or questions from the committee? Any comments or questions from the public? Is anyone opposed to this motion? Hearing none, that item passes. Item three.
Item number three is a request to exclude Lynn Energy LLC from the 2016 audit schedule. Lynn Energy LLC filed Chapter 11 on May 18, 2016. They were a payer of record, or they are a payer of record, beginning from December 2014 through current. Total royalty paid is $28,444.89. They have never been field audited. Staff recommends that the audit of Lynn Energy LLC be removed from the 2016 audit schedule because the amount paid is immaterial and there is no royalty at risk.
So the committee accept this recommendation?
I'll make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
Second.
Any discussion from the public, other committee members? Anyone opposed? Motion passes.
Item number four is a request to exclude Louisiana Energy and Environmental Incorporated from the 2016 audit schedule. Excuse me. Louisiana Energy and Environmental filed Chapter 7 on May 23, 2016. They were a payer of record from December of 6 through September of 10. Total royalty paid for that time was $59,793.17. They have never been field audited. Staff recommends that the audit of Louisiana Energy and Environmental Incorporated be removed from the 2016 schedule because the amount paid is immaterial and their royalty is at risk.
May I accept this proposal? Any questions from the public? From the board?
I make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Item number five is a request to exclude Penn Virginia Oil and Gas Texas from the 2016 audit schedule. Penn Virginia Oil and Gas Texas filed Chapter 11 on May 18, 2016. They were a payer of record from August 2001 through May of 2010. Total royalty paid was $3,372,959.17. The most recent audit covered the period of August of 2001 through December of 2008. Since the audit resulted in a total of $44,797 in exceptions. Since that audit, they have paid a total of $298,222 in monthly royalty. Staff recommends that the audit of Penn Virginia Oil and Gas Texas be removed from the 2016 audit schedule for low risk. The previous audit covered the majority of the royalty paid and exceptions were not significant.
So do we have any discussion?
Make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Any comments from the public? Next.
Mr. Chairman, before we... Are we releasing you now?
No, not yet. I'm not done yet.
Well, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
About the audit division.
Yes, sir.
When you complete.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Item number 6 is a request to exclude Sand Ridge Exploration and Production LLC from the 2016 audit schedule. Sand Ridge Exploration and Production LLC filed Chapter 11 on May 15, 2016. They were a payer of record from December 96 through April 2014. Total royalty paid was $1,871,015. The most recent audit covered January 2003 through December of 2006. There were no exceptions issued in that audit. Since the audit, they have paid a total of $464,479 in monthly royalty. Staff recommends that the audit of Sand Ridge Exploration and Production LLC be removed from the 2016 audit schedule because it is considered low risk.
Thank you. I heard staff's report recommendation. We have a motion to approve. Move by Mr. Halzack, second by Mr. Segura. Any comments or questions from the committee? Any comments or questions from the public? Is there anyone opposed to this motion? Hearing none, item 6 is approved.
Item number 7 is just a staff report to the committee that the election for June 2016 gas royalty is to be paid on a processed basis at the Discovery Plant at LaRose and the C. Robin Plant at Henry per the terms of the State Tax Code Global Settlement Agreement. And that concludes.
Thank you. Mr. Hike, you had a question?
Yes, I did. At the beginning of the legislative session, many of us were concerned about the fact that your particular division may lose significant funding, so there would be a reduction, if you will, of or loss, if you will, of auditors within your division or your office.
Yes, sir.
Where are we with regards to that, ma'am?
I will have to defer to Mr. Brule or Ms. Hodges if she's in the audience.
I'll take this. Of course, it's not a done deal yet. We still have a second special session through the 23rd of June. As of right now, we are looking at some layoffs within the department. At this time, I believe we're not likely to have any layoffs within the Office of Mental Resources based on the latest budget that I saw. It's going to be close, but I think we're going to be good.
Okay. That was a concern. Thank you very much, sir.
Absolutely a concern.
Yeah, if we lose our policemen, then what happens? Thank you.
Thank you. Any further items? There being nothing, on the, we are adjourned.
Thank you.
I'd like to call the Legal and Title Controversy Committee to order. I designate Mr. Emil Fontenot and Mr. Rick Heck to present the information to us. Oh, I'm sorry, I need to do a roll call as well. Mr. Arnold's here.
Present, yes.
I'm here. Secretary Harris.
Here.
Mr. Cordero.
Here.
Mr. Hike.
Here.
Ms. LeBlanc.
Here.
Mr. Hollinshead.
Here.
Mr. Watkins.
Here.
I believe that gives us a quorum. Mr. Fontenot and Mr. Heck, you can proceed.
Item number 1 is a request by staff for final approval of a settlement and release agreement by and between BP America Production Company and the State Mineral and Energy Board, whereas said parties desire to settle and release all claims arising from and related to royalty payments for the audited leases for the audit period of January 1, 1999 through December 31, 2009, affecting state lease numbers 42 328, 329, 340, 861, 862, 872, 3279, 3522, 4318, 6863, 7591, 7636, 10426, 10835, 11279, 11282, 12897, 13403, 14674, 14771, 15040, and 18155, appearing in one of the following parishes in Cameron, East Baton Rouge, East Feliciana, Iberia, Lafourche, Plaquemines, Point Coupee, St. Mary, Terrebonne, Vermilion, and West Baton Rouge parishes, Louisiana, with further particulars being stipulated in the instrument which has been duly advertised and appears on today's docket as item number 16-1. Staff recommends final approval of this settlement and release agreement.
All right, any questions or discussion on item one? If not, do I have
I make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
A motion by Mr. Arnold to accept staff's recommendation. Do I have a second? Mr. Hike, seconds. Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed, the motion carries. Item two.
It is a request by staff for final approval of an operating agreement by and between the State Mineral and Energy Board and Shoreline Southeast LLC to create an operating track for the exploration and development of oil, gas, and other and/or condensate and other liquid hydrocarbons, which proposal allocates to the state a state production interest equal to 22.5% before payout, increasing to 23% after payout in and to the operating track, covering a portion of former state lease number 20783, containing 216.826 acres, more or less, situated in Lafourche Parish, Louisiana, with further particulars being stipulated in the instrument which has been duly advertised and appears on today's docket item as 16.20. Staff recommends final approval of the operating agreement.
Any questions or discussion on item two?
We can make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
We have a motion by Mr. Arnold to accept staff's recommendation of item two. Do we have a second? Mr. Hollinshead, seconds. Any further questions or discussion or any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed, the motion carries. Item three.
It is a request by staff for final approval of a settlement and operating agreement by and between the State Mineral and Energy Board and Bridgeline Holdings, LP, whereas said parties desire to settle claims for past storage beneath the property and to enter into a settlement and agreement regarding the terms for future storage beneath the property and to create an operating track regarding the possible expansion of the caverns of storage for storage of hydrocarbons in the caverns associated with the Bridgeline Well Number 1, serial number 972568, which is registered as the Napoleonville Storage Well Number 1 with the Office of Conservation, covering unleased state acreage located in Section 41, Township 12 South, Range 13 East, Napoleonville Field in Assumption Parish, Louisiana, with further particulars being stipulated in the instrument and again being duly advertised and appearing on today's docket as item number 16-2. Staff recommends final approval of said agreement subject to form and legality.
Mr. Settleman?
Just a note, any discussion of this, as it is a settlement of a legal dispute, need to be had in executive session.
Even a simple question about the issue?
Even a simple question what?
Even a simple question about the item? I know we dealt with this last meeting, that's all I was just
wondering.
I thought we had... Is this a different issue or the same?
The same.
Okay.
Move to accept staff recommendation.
Staff does have a recommendation. Correct? Am I reading that right?
Staff is recommending that you approve it subject to the form and legality, yes.
Pending on this item, okay. I'm sorry, but the staff recommendation is pending. It's on this item.
That's a correction. My fault.
Okay.
I didn't get you a corrected copy. My apology.
So, any...
No, I second the staff recommendation.
All right.
To approve...
You make the original motion.
With Mr. Harris, wait a minute.
Oh, Secretary Harris, may I have the original motion? So we have an original motion by Secretary Harris, second by Mr. Arnold.
And this is docket item 16-21, not dash 2, correct?
16-21, correct.
All right.
And in completeness, I think what we need is, if y'all are satisfied based upon what was discussed last time, what we're going to need is a resolution that would authorize the staff to enter into this agreement subject to the usual form and legality.
That's what Mr. Harris said, correct?
Okay, I'm sorry. I zoned out.
Okay. Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Sir, Mr. Chairman, I abstain for reasons that I'd mentioned in the last meeting.
Okay. Abstains for the record?
Motion carries.
Motion carries. Item
four.
Item four, yes.
Yes, sir. It's a request by staff to issue a final notice to CSI Energy LP for failure to register with the Office of Mineral Resources as a prospective leaseholder by January 31st, as required by Louisiana Revised Statute 30:123.1. Staff has made attempts to reach CSI Energy LP at last known telephone numbers and all addresses. Staff, through certified mail, contacted CSI Energy LP, advising that re-registration would be completed no later than May the 6th, 2016. Staff's first letter sent out on April the 20th, 2016 was returned with a notation of a new address. A letter to that address was sent on May the 3rd, 2016, and staff received receipt that it was delivered on May the 6th, 2016. The lessee has failed to renew registration as requested and required. It is recommended that the board authorize staff to make final demand upon lessee to re-register by June the 30th, 2016. If re-registration is not completed by this date, the liquidated damage assessment in the amount of $100 per day will commence to accrue July 1, 2016 in accordance with Revised Statute 30:123.1C.
I have a question. At what point, obviously, you in this recommendation, they're being assessed, or they can be assessed if they're not registered. At what point do you cancel the lease because they're not registered, or can you?
I don't think that's grounds for cancellation.
It's not?
No, sir. We'll get a comment from the Attorney General, but because they're not registered, I think they're in non-compliance of the statute, but that's not grounds for cancellation of the lease.
I got to admit, in fairness, I've never looked at this issue, so I don't know for certain, but
our intent here is really
it's merely that they be registered with our office, not Secretary of State.
Well, they have to be in good standing with the Secretary of State to be registered with us as well. That's one of the criteria. But again, the intent is not to penalize these people, and there are a lot of circumstances involved where employees no longer work there and people move, and just a multitude of reasons, and we don't want to represent to you that we want to take the lease away from them, but at the same time,
we need to have their cooperation. And in this case, and in many cases, we have 1,032 of these, of the same incident right here that we're going to be working on for the next Lord knows how long to get that resolved. But that
if they're usually unregistered, do they end up paying the assessments?
We have to look at each individual situation, yes, sir. And what you're doing right here is, come July the 1st, if they're not registered, then we have to come to you and give you the reasons, and you determine whether you want to seek the damages. But there again, you can't contact these people. We can't collect from them either.
I can comment on that. Most people have registered within the grace period, mm-hmm. but we have had a few in the past who have paid the penalties. And regarding the statute 3123.1, I've reviewed it, and it does not provide for lease cancellation as a remedy. The only remedy is $100.
So you cannot be registered with the office but still maintain a lease.
Right.
So CSI is in good standing with the state? The Secretary of State's office? Are they registered there?
I'll have to get back to you.
That's a simple fax, right?
Sir?
You can register with our office through fax.
That's correct.
A simple one-page form.
I would be inclined to say that they're not registered and in good standing, but anything to the contrary, I'd have to get back to you and correct that. I think that's correct.
Ms. Vance is looking that up right now. She'll have that information for us momentarily.
Mr. Chairman? Yeah, Mr. Hank, what is entailed with registration? Is just a simple form that's sent in, financial information sent in? What is required of registration?
It's filling out the form that is on our website. It's a two-page, I believe, piece of paper with pertinent information, so we can contact the people. And then the renewal of registration, actually, they can call us and verify over the phone that their information is current. So it's as easy as that. We have personnel in place ready to answer, ready to help these people should they have a problem with the registration, the beginning form. But it's a simple form. It's nothing difficult, and it's free.
Is it requiring financial disclosures of any nature?
No, sir.
In this instance, is it a just a lease without any production, or is it a production?
Now, if they hold any lease at all, they have to be registered.
Right, regardless.
It's just merely for contact purposes, in case for anything that may go on with the lease itself. Right.
But in this situation, you know, you get a lease and you pay for a lease, but you're not producing yet, but you have a lease. But then your lease is maintained once you start producing, right?
Correct.
That is correct.
So in this situation, in this particular lease, are they producing or are they just have a lease?
It's the lease is active, it's producing,
okay.
It's an old lease.
And we get royalties in timely fashion?
We are. And one of the things in this situation right here is CSI could have assigned to someone else. And we still have them on our records as being the lessee of record. But in essence, they're assigned to someone else. And that good player is paying us the royalties due on that lease or leases.
And staff has researched and said that the Secretary of State's office, they have not been in good standing since 2014.
Okay.
So we have 2 years there. I make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
Mr. Arnold makes a recommendation to approve staff's recommendation. Do I have a second by anyone? Second by Secretary Harris. Any further questions or discussion? Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Item 5.
It's a request by staff to rescind a resolution dated March the 8th, 2006, regarding interpretation of revised statute 30-125B as it relates to liquidated damage assessments for not properly registering with the Office of Mineral Resources. Staff recommends rescission of this resolution as it is unnecessary because Louisiana revised statute
125 was amended and changed to Louisiana Revised Statute 30123.1 and now includes specific language regarding liquidated damages. A copy of the statute is included in your binder should you care to peruse it.
All right. Any questions on item 5?
Was it amended last session or when was it?
No, sir, not this item.
I believe it was actually amended in 2008. We just figured out, we just found it.
Motion to accept staff's recommendation.
We have a motion by Mr. by Mr. Arnold to accept staff's recommendation. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Watkins. Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. Item 6.
A request by staff to rescind the resolution dated November the 16th, 1956, regarding a policy for state banks in liquidation, presenting leases to the Mineral Board for consideration. The staff recommends rescission of this resolution, and it is no longer needed because it's really not an issue.
Can you explain that? Just a little more. Why?
Well, I don't know how many state banks there are, and I haven't heard of any going into liquidation, and we have not had, since I've been here, a bank presenting a lease for board approval.
All right.
Again, I think if that issue was ever to come up, this is such an old resolution, I think we would probably want to rescind it anyway and present current information with the conditions as they are today to deal with that issue.
Okay. Any further questions or discussion? We have a motion to approve staff's recommendation?
Any motion?
Motion by Secretary Harris, second by Mr. Watkins. Any public comment? Any banks? Not all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries.
Item number 7 is a request by Joseph Martin on behalf of Synergy Land Company, Inc. for a waiver of liquidated damages in the amount of $1,000 incurred for failure to get board approval of an assignment of state lease number 21010. This is Synergy's first infraction, and the staff recommends that a full waiver be granted.
Any questions or discussion on item 7?
Yeah. How much does it amount to at the present time?
It's a flat fee of $1,000.
Oh, I see.
And he had asked me if he needed to be present since this was the first infraction. I told him that I didn't need so, but there's some other circumstances. He's a very professional person. He's looked in as in the industry as, and he had miscommunications with his client. Plus, he had medical issues with his parents, so I thought that, considering the protocol and all, that it would be all right. He didn't need to appear.
He's frequently at our meetings. He's frequently at our meetings.
Yes.
I make a motion to accept the staff. We have a motion by Mr. Hike to accept staff's recommendation. Do I have a second? Second by Ms. LeBlanc. Any further discussions or questions or public comment? If not, all in favor? All opposed? The motion carries. Item 8.
The final item on the agenda today is a discussion regarding the status of the proposed new lease form. Our Assistant Secretary Boulay would like to present some comments.
Thank you, Emil. as you know, this has been on the agenda since January of this year. Staff and ourselves have been working through many details. The final two to be worked are assignment and audit. a few meetings with industry have been held since the last board meeting. We continue to have some non-agreement in how to settle the audit and assignment issues, as well as reviewing this lease form, which is a vast improvement of the current lease form, but still relatively new. Certainly we have new board members here, And with that, we've uncovered some other language that may be conflicting. So what we believe is a prudent path is to spend a little bit more time evaluating the lease form and develop a comprehensive approach to the 2000 lease form and what we propose in 2016 to give board members more to understand the improvements. And from what I understand, this was retaken up in 2014 with 17 objectives, some of which were removed out of the revision, and it gives us an opportunity to reevaluate its entirety once again, as opposed to, I think in January it was a push to try to get it done before previous administrations left office, and we're picking up a little bit of the pieces here trying to bring a document to close. A lot of effort has gone into it by staff and industry. I think there's a lot of good improvements in it, but I think it's a prudent path for us to re-review and develop a document that has as little conflict in it as we can assure the public.
Thank you. Any questions or discussion from anyone?
I do.
Sorry. We had a discussion a couple of months ago, I guess, or maybe 2 months ago. It was an informal discussion of some of us with staff, if you remember, and the comment was made that there may be some legislation that would affect certain articles in the proposed lease. Remember that discussion?
I'm not clear what you're...
You and I were there. Todd was there, and I think Robert was there. Mr. Harris was there, and others. And the comment came up about certain articles that may be amended by legislative act, such as, I think it dealt with, the discussion had to do with financial security, environment, assignment, maybe audit. I'm not quite sure exactly.
Right, right. I think it was in the financial security component that we referenced.
So my question to you is, in this last regular session, has any legislation been passed that would affect those particular areas of the lease? That is, audit, which is Article 10, environmental damage, Article 14, financial security, which is 15, and liability insurance, which is 16. If someone can answer that for me, I'd appreciate it.
There were no bills passed that would affect audit.
It's audit, environment damage, financial security, and liability insurance. Those are the areas that, as I remember in that little discussion we had, was possibly being affected by legislation. And my question is, whether or not any legislation was passed that affect the language that deals with those issues in our proposed lease.
There was some legislation passed that changed some of the financial security requirements for specific wells in specific fields. Well, not specific wells, but specific depth of wells. I think we should look at that. I don't believe there are any changes required, but I think the prudent thing to do would be just to look at the legislation in light of this language and make sure that it's not affected.
Okay. So could you provide that information to us? That is, any bills that affect any of the language in the proposed lease, so we can take a look at that.
Absolutely. I can send links to the board to legislation.
Okay. So basically what you're saying is that you're not really certain at this moment that there was bills passed affect those?
There was they haven't been necessarily signed by the governor, so it's not law yet. As soon as that happens, I will email those acts out to the board.
That might be another reason, of course, for us to delay the implementation of this new lease.
I agree.
Other than what's passed, are there, to your knowledge, any pending legislation
I'll add that it's normal and customary for the staff to give an update of the legislative session to the board after the session is over. Since it just ended Monday, we didn't have a chance to put it on this month's agenda. So we'll ask Mr. Devitt if he'll present those items next month.
Yeah, we'll have post-legislative discussion of the various bills that affect our department, you know, department-wide, and including those that affect mineral resources, and we'll present that to you guys.
Great. All right. My other question, I don't know if I should direct this to Mr. Harris or Mr. Boulet, and...
Boulet, for the record.
Boulet, sorry. Boulet. Like hick rather than hike, right? Sorry about that, Dave.
That's all right.
I'm hoping, Mr. Secretary, I'll ask you this. I'm hoping that at some point in time when we have a full discussion about the adoption of the lease, which I think should occur sooner rather than later, but should occur within a reasonable amount of time, that there will be an open discussion with any comments from industry so that we can understand what their position is. Is that what your intent is with regards to that?
And I agree with you. It should happen sooner rather than later. When I was sitting out there in the audience, I just couldn't understand why this was possibly taking so long. You know, I think there's industry has raised some valid points. They're not that many of them, but there's some tough issues, and I think we really should and will provide the board with information on what these issues are. We can do that in the form of a workshop. Of course, we could have a forum, but.
We can have a quorum if we publish an agenda, Mr. Seidman, is that correct?
Right.
Notification.
Mr. Secretary, correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, of course, I've only been on the board for about 2 years, but we had a general discussion, a workshop, if you will, maybe a year or so ago, which I attended and some other members attended. And then we had some comments made by industry throughout this past year, and it seemed that all of the issues of a proposed lease were agreed upon, except three areas, and that is audit, assignment, and the signature page, right?
I wasn't.
Is that right, Mr.? Wasn't there a fourth in
the notice? Notices was the fourth.
Notice.
We came to an agreement on notices and the signature page with the industry representatives.
So my question now is, what are the other issues of contention that industry is concerned about, number one, and number two, who are those individuals making that request for additional consideration, because I'd like to know whether or not there are additional individuals that have come forward, or if it's the same individuals and they just come up with different areas of contention.
Certainly, Mr. Hike. Mr. Devitt, would you give us a brief summary of...
We're looking at two other areas, one of which was raised internally. We found an inconsistency between two parts of the lease dealing with the standard for restoration after the lease is finished.
Did you bring up that objection, or did the industry bring up that objection?
We did. Uh-huh. We raised it. We found it. And after looking at it, found that it was... sufficiently important that we should keep it in play.
Keep it in play?
Keep it in, yeah. To
in discussion?
Yes. I think if we brought it to you, you would agree. But
we'll see. And the other area that has been raised by industry has to do with within our royalty section, some vagueness about what expenses can be taken out of royalty payments. And so we haven't fully gotten a lot of comments on that. It's just been raised by some of the people you've seen that have come here to speak to us.
Are there any other inconsistencies or concerns that you've been made aware of from industry? Besides those two that you've just mentioned,
there are two other issues that we've been discussing: assignment rights and
oh yes, certainly the assignment rights and the audit rights, which we're certainly not at a point where, I mean, we're kind of at an impasse right now with the folks we've been talking to about assignments and audit rights, and we've got
on pretty good.
We both have. There's some hard areas on both sides that we haven't given up hope of finding a compromise, but we certainly tried a lot of different things.
Have you explored how they handle those in the other states that?
Yes,
that are active in oil and gas?
We have. We certainly have.
And what's the issue? Not to go into detail, but just...
On the audit rights, the issue really boils down to how long parties have to keep records and make them available for inspection. It's not clear in the law. However, there's no limit on our audit rights. I don't believe we should require that people keep records forever.
Right.
There needs to be some solution there, and I think industry is looking for clarity on that.
Are they required right now to keep them for any length of time, Mr. Secretary?
You could look at our statute and imply, since statute gives us the right to audit without any time limitation, you could imply that there is a duty to maintain those records. And that's one of the solutions that we're exploring, is to have in our, just have our lease reflect the statutory language.
It seems to me that if we're going to have a workshop on those particular issues that have been identified as inconsistencies or concerns, that hopefully maybe staff could provide each member of the board what those issues are, the position of the staff, and what other states are doing.
Sure.
So that we can have an idea of, you know, where industry is, what Texas is doing, what is reflected in the old lease, what the proposed change would be, so we can get an idea of where we need to go. Is that possible, Mr. Secretary?
Yes, we can give you...
I think it would be beneficial.
A lot of...
Certainly, it would give our staff some guidance on some, as far as the... I think discussion on those subjects would be healthy.
We didn't have that in the meeting that I attended last year or so, whenever it was held, when industry had presented to us. We didn't have that type of information, so it was confusing to me to be able to absorb that sort of information and make a determination as to what is best for the state, what is best for the industry. So I would ask that when we do have this type of discussion, that information would be available to us in a summary form, so that we can see what other states are doing, what the state of Louisiana has done for the last, you know, where we are presently, what the industry wants, that sort of thing.
We'll try to make it as understandable as possible, given the complexity and the interconnectedness of these issues. We certainly will.
Mr. Hike, I believe the chairman has a suggestion.
I do have a suggestion.
Push this along.
To help expedite or get this done, expedite the Boulay. That's the right way to say it.
Boulay, yeah.
I'd like to create a subcommittee consisting of staff, the industry representatives that we've been working with over the last 2 or 3 months, as well as 3 or 4 board members to meet and get this all ironed out and present to the board at the next board meeting. So we have, 4 weeks? Meet. On that subcommittee, if they agree to serve, I'd like the chairman of the league entitled, Mrs. Segor, Mr. Boulay, Secretary Harris, myself, and Mr. Hike, if you're willing to serve. We can get together with industry, with staff, iron out all the details, make sure we understand everybody, and make a presentation to the board at the next meeting.
I know you're looking at me.
I want you on the committee because I want you to understand. I want us all to understand.
I understand that.
Wait, you sure you want him on
the
Absolutely.
The only problem I have with that is, you know, we do have some new board members.
They're all welcome to volunteer to come to a meeting. I'll be part of the meeting. We just have to advertise the agenda.
He's just forming a committee to spearhead this, and
I'll be glad. I'll personally be glad to serve on that. I just think that anything that we do should be. I just want to have the proper information be given to me prior to the meeting so that I might be able to understand where we're going with all of this. Because it's so, to me, so very important.
Well, and I agree with Mr. Hike, and I'm not criticizing, but maybe just suggesting, and when we do come to an end of this, typically we need to approve it next meeting, but we're still haggling with it until the day before, and then we're trying to get everybody all this comprehensive information and figure out what we have in it, what we don't have in it. Once we do iron everything out, I mean, at a certain point, as I said before in a previous meeting, you have to draw a line in the sand and say, this is it. We're agreeing, but we're coming up with a final agreement. And then once we've come up with it, that's it. It's moving forward to be approved or disapproved so that everyone has ample time to understand it. I mean, we have 11 members on the board and understand what's in it and make sure that it's fair for the state but also fair for the industry. I mean, a good contract has to be fair on both sides. You may not always like everything that's in it, but it needs to be fair for all.
Some of those issues are going to be, I mean, let's face it, some of those issues are straight up business decisions as to what you want to do for the state and or for the industry. It's a straight up business decision. And it's not whether or not you like it or don't like it. It's going to be a straight up business decision on some of those issues.
Of course, we're trying to confect an agreement that will have application from Arkansas to the Gulf of Mexico for decades to come.
Right. So, the chairman of the board in his power is appointing this new subcommittee.
Correct. Tomorrow.
To try to get this hammered out and come up with a new agreement.
Right. That'd be possible.
Yeah, I would request that we would focus for the August meeting versus July.
I want to meet at least once before the July meeting with us.
Absolutely.
To make a report to the whole.
Right.
And let me ask for a little house cleaning. In our previous meeting, we deferred this issue. Did we specifically defer it to be approved this meeting so that do we have to take action to say that we're deferring this issue till not a specific date, but at least till we get a recommendation? So do we need to, I don't remember what
we did. I recall that was the way we did it to take action at today's meeting.
Okay, so, I'm suggesting that someone make a motion that we defer it until we have the outcome of this subcommittee that's ironed out the lease.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it. I'd like to make one other comment, and that is that I would ask the staff also to look at an issue that is not in the proposed new lease, and that issue deals with deep rights. And I'd ask that you take that in consideration and give us the same information with regard to that issue that you're going to be giving it to the others, and that is, what's the position of industry, what is the position of our neighboring states, what is the position of the department, and or why, so that we can consider that issue. That's an issue that I'm interested in as we debate the contents of this new lease.
All right, so I'd like to, thank you, Mr. Hack. I'd like to entertain a motion, I believe about.
Made a motion, Secretary Harris, second.
Oh, no.
A second.
Okay, you made a motion to defer this action on new lease form.
Until I have the subcommittee report.
Right.
Do you need a motion to create the subcommittee?
No, do not.
Okay. I think you can do it by his powers as the chairman.
Yeah, that's correct.
So there's a motion by Mr. Arnold and second by Secretary Harris. Any further questions or discussion or public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. We don't have any executive session items. Great. This time, I'd like to entertain a motion to adjourn the Legal and Title Controversy Committee.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Watkins. Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. Legal and Title Controversy is adjourned.
The docket committee is called to order. We're going to call Mr. Arnold.
Present.
Mr. Segura.
Here.
Secretary Harris.
Here.
Mr. Cordero.
Here.
Mr. Smith. Mr. Hunt.
Here.
Mr. Hollingshead.
Here.
Mr. Watkins.
Here.
Mr. Bradbury. And Mr. Corder. I would like to appoint Mr. Fontenot as my designee.
Thank you, ma'am. We are going to be presenting the following items for your consideration, the board's consideration. Under Category A, state agency leases, we're recommending that item number one be approved. Under Category B, state lease transfers, recommending to approve item one, subject to the approval of the governor. Under approve items 2 through 17, approve item 18, subject to the approval of the governor, and approve items 19 through 24. Under Category C, Department of Wildlife and Fisheries State Agency lease transfers. There are no items on the agenda for our consideration. And finally, under Category D, advertised proposals, we're recommending to approve item number one, subject to the approval of the governor, and approve items 2 and 3.
Thank you, sir. We need a motion and a second to approve staff's recommendation.
Move. To approve.
Second, Mr. Cordero, second. Any public comments? Any comments from the committee? All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
That will complete the items on today's agenda.
Thank you. We'll entertain a motion to end the docket committee. Mr. Cordero?
Second.
Girl? Motion carries.
Thank you.
research to see if we need they have open meetings while it's no big deal. We're just doing your agenda and put it on the website.
Agenda is discussing. Members of the panel, please take your seats.
Yeah, but I think what you brought up is more, probably more, will bring up more questions than anything else we've talked about.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
I think that's healthy for this.
What they call the order of regular meeting and lease sale. Our first order is to go with a roll call.
Mr. Arnold.
Present.
Mr. Segura.
Here.
Mr. Harris.
Here.
Mr. Cordero. Mr. Hike.
Here.
Ms. LeBron. Mr. Hollingshead.
Here.
Mr. Watkins.
Here.
Mr. Bradbury. Mr. Carter. Mr. Chairman, we have 8 members present and a quorum.
Thank you. Our second item on the agenda is approval of the May 11th, 2016 minutes. I believe you have a copy in front of you as well as emailed a copy earlier this week.
Move to accept those minutes.
Move by Mr. Segura. Second by Mr. Hollingshead. Any comments or questions from the board members? Any comments or questions from the public? Is anyone opposed to approving the minutes? Hearing none, that motion and the minutes are approved. Item 3 is adoption of committee recommendations. A, Lease Review Committee. B, Nomination and Track Committee. C, Audit Committee. D, Legal and Title Controversy Committee. And E, Docket Review Committee. Any motion to approve their recommendations?
Move to accept all of those committee recommendations.
There's a move by Mr. Segura. Second by Mr. Harris. Any comments or questions from the board members? Any comments or questions from the public? Is anyone opposed to those recommendations being approved? Hearing none, the motion carries. Item 4 is new business, the Attorney General's recommendations on parliamentary procedures. Mr. Seidelman?
If you guys would like, I can just summarize. I think you all have a copy of what would be a proposed resolution in front of you all. But pursuant to Mr. Hike's request at a few previous board meetings, we have reviewed the method for conduct of the meetings and have proposed a couple of streamlining measures, condensing certain things. And if you want, I can just kind of go through this as a bullet point thing. Most of the board meeting, for all practical purposes, would remain the same. So beginning at 8:30, regularly called board meeting would be the opening of bids, etc., usual stuff there. The primary difference, I think, really comes at the actual board meeting itself would be to open at 9:30 rather than after committees. But the functional reality of that is insignificant because, of course, all of the committees are the full board here anyway. So 9:30 would be the or when the opening and reading of the bids is completed, whichever is later. So if the opening and reading goes after 9:30, then it would be after, but otherwise 9:30 would be opening roll call of the board meeting. Once a quorum is present, then we'd go through the individual staff reports just before the open board, so there wouldn't be the individual stopping, calling for committee, calling to open a committee, roll call, and all of that. It would just be have the sections come up, present. After presentation of all the section reports, then we go into the matters that you just went into, the prior minutes. There's also consideration of withdrawal of any recommended tracts for withdrawal. Then there would be one big executive session, which, you know, as with today, it would be nothing. And that, of course, just kind of rises and falls depending on what's on the various agendas. And most of the executive sessions, as you all well know, are either audit or legal and title, though there can be others if necessary, and, of course, consideration of the bids, the briefing. And so that would all occur as one executive session. So, again, there wouldn't be the roll call vote for each executive session for each staff report. We'd all go into the back, and if audit has something, if legal and title has something, presumably we'd brief y'all on those, get your recommendations, and then y'all would get your briefing from staff if staff has gotten to that point. If not, then there is approval for recess to give staff time to finish evaluating the bids and give you their reports. Come out of executive session, do the necessary motions to deal with what was discussed in executive session, then go into the awarding of the bids. And that's it. So otherwise it would then pick back up and continue with normal process of the meeting. You know, again, I don't know time-wise whether it saves an awful lot, but it does cut out some of the redundancies of calling individual meetings or individual committees together and separate executive sessions. So in a bullet point sense, that's what the proposal does. Be happy to answer any questions if y'all have any.
Just a motion.
So
it says no.
Can we make a motion to approve this resolution?
Absolutely, you can.
You ought to read it for us, correct?
Or accept if you'd like.
We can accept it as proposed?
You may accept it as proposed. If you really want me to read it, I can read it. Thanks, Emil. I appreciate that. Come on now. You know, I got quite a singing voice. Actually, I don't. You don't want to hear me.
Do you need a motion?
I believe Mr. Heike.
Yeah, I want to make a motion that we accept this resolution, make it permanent for the mineral board, and I want to also compliment Ryan on this work. I certainly appreciate it, and I think it's going to streamline some of our work and avoid some additional issues. Thank you very much.
Sure.
So I'll make that motion to adopt the resolution.
Okay. We have a motion to approve the staff recommendation and resolution. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by the entire board. Is anyone opposed to it? Okay. Any comments or questions from the public? Any comments or questions from the committee or the board? Is anyone opposed to this resolution? Hearing none, the resolution passes. And this will begin on the August 10th. August 10th? Of July.
Yeah, the proposal in the resolution is to implement this in August.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's true. It was set up in what y'all had to start in August just so that the staff and I could sit down and make sure that we had time to make sure we know the new process. So next month will be the same as this. But
start after, in the August meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, under new business, be in a position to make a motion. I'd like to make a motion, and it goes back to our discussion about the subcommittee. I'd like to make a motion that when the subcommittee meets, that we'll be provided an agenda, if you will, of the various points of concern that the staff may have about the proposed lease and industry has about the proposed lease, so we know exactly what it is that's going to be discussed, and that we follow the protocol with regards to that agenda as we do with the memo board, so that we know in advance what we're going to be discussing.
Do we need a motion or just a request to have a detailed agenda for each time we meet?
I don't know.
I don't think it matters, to be honest with you. I mean, if y'all want to do a motion and have that in place as a resolution, mm-hmm. I don't think it hurts anything. But I don't think it's necessary. I mean, really, the subcommittees, through their creation and function, aside from following the general rules of the open meetings law, which would require an agenda within the mandatory time frame are subject to the chair's discretion in terms of what you want. So if you want to tack on some additional things by way of your own direction, or if you want to entertain it by way of a motion to apply henceforth, I think neither here nor there. Do it as you please.
Well, and my concern though is that when we had the two previous conferences, if you will, we did not have an agenda, and we weren't really sure what was going to be discussed. And I'd like to make sure that we know what is going to be discussed when we do meet.
Sure, as Mr. Seidman pointed out, since it is an official subcommittee of the board and the previous conferences weren't, we will have to publish an agenda and put it out on the website.
That's fine. Then I withdraw my motion. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further new business? Okay, item five is, excuse me, go to executive session to discuss the lease sale. Need a motion to executive session, please. Moved by Mr. Gore, second by Mr. Hollinshead. Any comments or questions from the public or the board? Is anyone opposed? Hearing none, we're in executive session. Thank you.
Have you been to any shows down at Superdome lately? Have you been to any shows down in New Orleans lately? In your back home stadium?
I'd like to set the motion come out of executive session. Move on, Mrs. Segura, second by Mrs. LeBlanc. Is there anyone opposed? Hearing none, we're out of executive session. Mr. LeBlanc, can you give us your staff's recommendations?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. On track number 44558, the staff recommends that the bid by Preeminence Energy be accepted. On track number 44559, the staff recommends that the bid of Seco Oil and Gas be accepted. On track 44561, the staff recommends that the bid of Southwest Energy Partners be accepted. On track number 44566, the staff recommends that the bid of Seco Oil and Gas be rejected for insufficient consideration. There was an advertised minimums with on this track of $350 an acre and 25% royalty. The bidder did not bid the minimums, but the staff recommends that that bid be rejected. The staff also recommends that the bid, that the track not be re-advertised by the board with minimums, since it has already been advertised with minimums.
Thank you. Further staff's report and recommendation for the award on leases. Can I have a motion to approve?
Move to accept.
Move, Mr. Gore. Second by Mr. Hollinshead. Any comments or questions from the board members? Any comments or questions from the public? Is anyone opposed to approval of these leases? Hearing none, that motion passes. Announcements?
The total for today's lease sale is $31,100. And today is the last lease sale of the fiscal year, which makes our fiscal year total $5,529,721.49. And one last announcement. Happy birthday to Mr. Segura, who celebrates his birthday next Wednesday.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
No, 29 years old. Thank you very much.
No wonder you got gray hair.
Yeah. I'm 21 on Wednesday. Thank you.
There being no further items, take a motion to adjourn, please. Move on, Mr. Hollinshead. Second on, Mr. Hike. Any comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Is anyone opposed to our adjournment? Hearing none, we're adjourned. Thank you.